Well, we always come together here, or in other words, we are glad that we can come together here. There are some who are not here, and as we all know, everyone needs to relax from time to time. And if I may put it this way, leaving home to see other wallpaper is something we want to grant everyone. And we also want to rejoice when we can see each other again and praise our Lord together. Well, tonight I don't know how it will go on and what will happen, but I believe I personally can sing, you all know that. And maybe there are several people here who can sing, but one thing we can do is pray. And that's the reason and the cause why we come together here, to worship our Lord together. We want to praise Him and exalt His name and thank Him for His grace. The psalmist is speaking here in Psalm 119 from verse 1. Psalm 119 from verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. This is an expression, or a desire, a heart's desire, and statement which the psalmist did not utter of his own accord, but the Spirit of God, who worked in him and through him, uttered it, proclaimed it. He called it into being, if I may put it this way, so that you and I, so that we may learn from what has been said here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. This is what this man said here, who spoke these words and had them written down, as already noted by the Spirit of God, not of his own accord. Who would be in a position to say something of their own accord? And then, as he expressed it in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That was the question that he asks himself, or that this word asks us today. And the answer is as follows. By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. May God give us grace to follow what we hear, what we read, that we pay attention how we walk. Here the question was put to a young man as to how he would make his walk pure. Today, this word poses the question to us. It is put to us, and the answer is, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. May God grant us grace, so that what we hear, we do not hear in vain, that what we do not read in vain. For we know that a word that is spoken or read aloud, a word that has been left to us, it's not left by chance to us. But as we know, just as the rain, when it falls, it accomplishes what it was sent to do, so does the word that we hear, that we read, and what we are told. So may God grant us grace tonight and forever, that we may praise this word, that we may praise his statutes, thanking him for it, for the statutes, for the ordinances, and all the rights that he has given us through his word, that we may lift him up, that we may praise him with our lips and thank him for it. For he is gracious and merciful. And then he says here, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. May God grant us this. Let us stand up now and let us pray together. And then Brother Frank comes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, I praise you for the privilege you have given me to be here. Lord, I thank you that you still give us your word from which we can read, Lord. Grant us grace, O God, that we may not be vain hearers, but Lord, that we stretch out, Lord, that we delight in your statutes and your ordinances, O God, that our walk may be according to thy word, Lord Jesus Christ, according to your commandments and according to your will, O God, speak to us. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ. Bless every brother, every sister who is here, Lord, and also those who cannot be here today. O Lord, you know, many want to, but they can't. My God and my Lord, I ask you, O Lord, bless everyone where they are, O God, and let us look up to you together, O Lord. Unite us, Lord, to the living and true One. For you are the One who sees everywhere, who hears everything, O Lord. We thank you and ask you for your blessing. Lord, bless the lips through which you will speak. O God, touch the tongue, Lord Jesus Christ, who prays to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Grant grace that a stream of prayer, thanksgiving, and praise may flow, O Lord, to the honor of thy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon that we just translated now from Brother Branham, which will come out sometime, Brother Branham talks about three groups of people. Some love with all their heart, and others hate with all their heart, and the third are in between and don't know what to do. They don't know where they stand. And so it happens. There are people who love you with all their heart, and then there are those who hate you with all their heart. What can you do? So it was with the Lord. So it was with the prophets. How often it was a huge blessing when a prophet entered a house. People didn't know what to do, and others stoned them, persecuted them, killed them, a blessing for some, a thorn in the side for others. So it was with our Lord, so it is with us today. And spirits are always separated where God's word is preached in truthfulness. Where this is not the case, there is neither real love nor real hatred. Everyone walks in the middle. They all walk somewhere in the middle and have no goal in mind. But if you have the love of God in your heart, you have to reveal it. And when I heard about these Shiite people there, you all don't know that here. You have to have been in those countries. When I was in Syria, that was the only country where I almost ended up in prison, just because I was in favor of Israel, and that by a preacher of the full gospel. People are filled with hate to the core. Just like the government, so are the believers. And I really, that was a really bad thing. What is it? What is it? They are believers, and yet they have a hatred against the chosen people, and that doesn't work. That doesn't agree. And when I then added that God's decision was valid after all, oh my pity, then it was all over. What this man told me about everything the Jews were doing at the border, propaganda from the newspapers, this man wanted to pass on to me and others. Not to me. Not to me. We have to be careful. I only say these things to show you that there are actually two different lines, and both are inspiration. If you don't put yourself completely on God's side, you can put on a pious face, you can talk piously, and when the test comes, you fall apart at the seams, and you no longer know where you stand. But some triggering point has to come, and then it becomes clear whether we will pass the test or not. But I wanted to say something else. I wanted to say it goes back to the days of Abraham, to the days of Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael was to be like a wild donkey, he against all and all against him, a man whom no one could tame. So it is to this day. Everything has remained the same. And it is the same with the church of the living God. Absolutely nothing changes. Just as God began, so he continues, and so he will finish. I think it's in the one book where Brother Brim says, the elect cannot persecute the elect. I think that's how it says there. That is simply impossible. But it goes even further. True children of God cannot even hate those who hate them. That is impossible. We feel sorry for them. It is a great pain. But it is impossible to allow even the slightest hatred to arise in our hearts. That is absolutely impossible. Yes, there cannot be two natures in the heart of a true child of God. According to the body, we are still earthly. But according to the soul, we have received life from God. And the life from God is the life of Jesus Christ. And through this, we have become sons and daughters of God by grace. And if that is not the case, I think I said that at the weekend, then we are taught into the kingdom of God. We think we get in through this knowledge or through this teaching, through something, and we are not in at all. We don't enter the kingdom of God through a teaching, not through knowledge, even if it were heavenly. We only enter the kingdom of God through a birth, just as we only enter this world through a birth. And it must be a birth from God. God's word as a seed, God's spirit fertilizes it and makes it alive. And so we enter the kingdom of God. What would happen if all God's children were truly born again and had divine life? Then we would already have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit here on earth. And I think that must be evident among believers now. I almost wanted to ask this evening, what will be revealed? The Holy Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, even if you don't want to admit it later. But that's what moved you the most, what you were talking about. Even if you think, well, that wasn't quite right. But it still shows what's in your heart that is revealed. It will come out. If something divine is there, then something divine is revealed. If it is not there, it cannot be revealed. And so there are all sorts of ways to examine yourself, to see how things really are. And I think that suits us all. Let each one examine himself, as the Holy Scriptures say. Now I would like to know if there are any questions tonight. Does anyone have a question tonight? Blank spot. The question is Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Perhaps we should also read the passage from Matthew 11, where the Lord says that John is the greatest, but the least in the kingdom of heaven. Let's just read this now as a comparison. Matthew 11, verses 11 and 12. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Perhaps, yes, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. As I said, this is a very difficult question. But it can only mean that we really approach the matter with all seriousness, with all diligence, with everything that is in us. So not thinking it will work out, it will be fine, but pressing in with force. In other words, strive to enter through the narrow gate. So practically pressing in, the kingdom of God is among us, but it must also be within us. So it must be a penetration into the kingdom of God. That may even be the theme of this evening. Yes, that the kingdom of God is not only among us, but that we press into the kingdom of God in faith, but not with our power, but really with the power of faith. And that we regard and accept the things that have been given to us in Christ as our personal property, And this requires a striving through and penetrating until we are in the kingdom of God. It is among us, yes, but it must be in us. And that is why we do violence to it and press into it with force. Do you notice the play on words here? Let me read it again. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That is the first point. The kingdom of heaven is breaking through by force. God is realizing His plan. He is making a new beginning. The time of grace, the time of salvation began. John ushered it in. It was given to us in Christ. So, the kingdom of heaven is breaking through by force. But now all those who want to be in it must really tear themselves away from everything in order to force their way into the kingdom of God, which is breaking through among us by force. We are actually facing the same question and the same result today. Just as we are given John as a forerunner here, who did nothing other than bring the word to pave the way, so it was in this generation too. But don't you realize that you have to tear yourself away, that you have to take the matter seriously, that you have to press in order to take the thing that God has made available to us with you as a personal experience. That is what matters. The kingdom of God could be among us forever, and if it were not in us and we were not in it, then it would be of no use. That's probably what we said here recently. We first carry the promise, and then when the promise is fulfilled, it carries us. Yes, there must always be harmony. The kingdom of God is breaking through with force, and all those who are seized, who are destined to enter the kingdom of God, cannot dream. They have to stand up, they have to wake up, and they have to approach the matter with force. When we speak of violence now, we mean divine violence, not beating chairs with fists. That is not violence in the divine sense. It's really being seized and taken hold of by God, recognizing that the kingdom of God is in our midst. At that time, the Lord began it through the forerunner. Now He wants to finish it, so it is breaking through among us. We are entering, right? We are entering. That's how I would see it, without being prepared for this word to have this meaning. We also see it here in the first part of Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. The announcements, the promises, all this was given, and it reached until John, of whom it is written, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and so forth. And now it went from promise to reality. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached through the gospel, and every man presses into it. This is a divine fact. Those who are seized by the gospel of Jesus Christ can no longer remain seated. He must break free. He must press in. You all know, sometimes people push their way in, and I'm giving a foolish example now, but maybe it has to be from time to time. Perhaps it doesn't even belong here. I hope nobody takes offense. But it has been reported to me so directly and personally that I can almost believe it. A good 2 years ago, When Brother Branham's suit was cut into small pieces and distributed on the platform by his two sons, people pushed and shoved their way to the front with such force in order to get a piece of it. I'm just giving that as a comparison. People thought there was something they absolutely had to have and then pushed to get it. I give that as a very weak comparison. As foolish as that was, it has similarities with superstition and Catholicism, but nothing to do with true faith in Jesus Christ. And if someone wants to tell me that Paul did the same thing, then I have to give such a rebuff, which will only be absorbed after the millennium at the final judgment. And I'll tell you why. Paul didn't impose his cause on anyone, nor did he tell anyone, you do now this or that. There were people in the audience who recognized that God was with this man, and they said to themselves, if I only have an apron or a handkerchief, a sweat cloth from this man, and put it on the sick, they will be well, and the devils will go out. That was based on faith. It wasn't Paul who was in the front orchestrating something, let alone his sons, but it was a matter between God and man. And we must always keep that apart. Somehow in English, it doesn't sound as sharp as it does here. The German language is a military language, and it's always crass, it's precise, but it's always harsh. The Americans can just say, Satan is God's monkey, and then it's somehow still okay. When we say that, it doesn't sound nice anymore. Yes, but with them, everything always sounds nice, because the language is somehow pleasant. But that's basically how it is. Satan imitates everything. He takes enough of God's word to cover his own counterfeit sufficiently, and this on all sides. And then people take the hook and don't even realize what's happening. We have the duty and the responsibility before God to do all things 100% according to the word of God. And when we see that Peter was used by God in a completely different way. He went through the streets of Jerusalem. The people had heard that God had blessed him mightily, and they thought to themselves, we'll put the sick ones down here. He sent no one ahead and said, now make an arrangement with the sick. No, that was the faith of those who had experienced God. And faith finds a way. Faith uncovers a roof and lowers the sick person down before the Lord. Faith doesn't care about circumstances, but sometimes these are just one-off events. And the faith of the people who had experienced God was so great that they brought those who wanted to experience God. They thought to themselves, he has to come by here sometime. And so it was. He came, and the people lay there like the sardines. And then they all got up and went with him, and nobody stayed behind. That was the biblical faith in these people, and that is always blessed and honored by God. But an imitation, another example, even more blatant, the Lord God commands Moses and says, lift up a serpent of brass, so that all the people who look at it and believe that reconciliation is coming and that the serpent's head will one day be crushed, will be healed. And what happened? They were healed. I think it's in 2 Kings 18. They made an idol out of this serpent of brass and sacrificed to it until Hezekiah got angry and lost his temper and then smashed the thing to pieces. That's the thing. You always have to pay close attention to where God is doing something and where Satan is imitating. And I'm telling you, he's not far away. Never ever. Job 1, Job 2. the sons of God gathered together, and among them was the devil. And the Lord addresses him and says, "Where did you come from?" "I have roamed the earth and have observed everything." We have to be careful, but we've got a bit off the track here. Today we are talking about violence. In the kingdom of God, not with a law of the fist, with no law at all, but recognizing the moment, doing violence to the kingdom of God in faith and saying, "Your kingdom, O God, is in our midst. I want to be in your kingdom, and I want your kingdom to be in me. The thing that you have promised, I believe. I get in, I come in, and the thing comes into me." That is the way of God. There is no other way. No consideration. I just wrote a little today. I thought about a circular letter, but I don't know what it will be. There is not enough time. But the thought is always that God has done everything he could possibly do. It's all down to our faith. Faith has access to all these things of God. Here we have it. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached through the gospel. There is no such thing as belonging to the kingdom of God unless it is a part of the gospel. If a thing is taught that is not part of the gospel, then where is the kingdom of God? That's how they build their own kingdoms. And the verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, has become great to me. "But as many as received him," not a teaching, not a knowledge, not an idea, and then run somewhere, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And then we come to rest in God from all our own works. So there are many precious passages in the Holy Scripture that can help us. But let me see if there isn't one more question. Does anyone have another question? Here you go, sister. I read the sermon, The Token, preached probably 1963, where Brother Branham says, "You Pentecostals, you are already in the Catholic Church." Was that for America or for the whole world? I was actually horrified because I had come out of the Pentecostal Church. Well, of course, it's like this. In all Eastern countries, we call them that because of their geographical location. It will go via the World Council of Churches. It's not possible any other way. But all the people, and I know this because I mentioned Poland, the man whose name is very well known is a member of the government and is in the World Council of Churches, the highest man at the head of Poland, for example. And that goes through all the countries, depending on the form of government, depending on the character and political groupings. The Roman Church will take over every organization. There is no other way. She has it. She has it. And if you read the relevant things, it's very far advanced. Very far. Basically, every denomination has the mark of the beast. It's not that they have to make a huge decision now that they are struggling with, but the roots, and you may not see it today, but believe me, that's the way it is. They have the same doctrines, the old leaven, all taken over, the doctrine of the Trinity, which Brother Branham described as a three-cornered club with which the people of God are beaten to the ground. And no one has done this as badly as the Pentecostal movement. They have emphasized individuals much more than any of the 300 churches. And that's why, via the Pentecostal movement, the matter was brought back to Rome, not via the Lutheran Church, not via the Presbyterians, to which Reagan belongs, but directly from the Pentecostal movement to the Roman Church, and everything else came after that. I went to the Vatican myself with the bishop, what's his name, Stanley, when we were with McTernan, and he had an audience. But when I saw the last door, I ran out. I turned round. I may not tell you everything here, but I saw all the treasures of the Vatican, Jesus made of gold, and so on. But when he said, this afternoon, at 3 o'clock, I have an audience, and so forth, and there I have to go, I honestly admit that I still walked the corridor with him. But when he knocked on the door, I turned on my heels and left. I just wanted to see what was going on. I watched people kissing the feet of the Peter statue. I saw it all with my own eyes. How the man looked out of the booth, took the cane and hit him across the face. Yes, I watched everything closely. But that's not what we want to know here tonight. But that's the way it is. The churches have the mark of the beast. They belong to the mother by origin, as daughters, as spiritual daughters. And Brother Branham has explained this very clearly. There is no prophet needed anymore to tell us more about this. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses, excuse me for saying this so openly here, who reject Jesus and reject the Trinity and who believe Jesus is the Michael from the Old Testament and so forth, and who say there is one God. But when it comes to baptism, they also baptize in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yes. And if someone calls the spirits of the dead, then also in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when you will read that brochure, I have already written part of it, and the rest is yet to come. That needs to be said. It must be said. This is the hour of truth. Do you think Satan is so angry about nothing? Don't believe it. But this is my heartfelt pleasure, to bear witness to the truth. We have not heard the truth for years in order to hide it under the bushel. We have heard it so that it might be put upon the lampstand. And after us, after the rapture, for my sake, the flood or the fire may come, whatever God will send. I'm serious. Even if it may not look like it at the moment, I see everything heading towards the pit of hell. Basically everything. Everyone wants to be celebrated. Everyone wants to sit at a green table. Everyone wants to be recognized. And what does our Lord say? They seek honor from people. They have no interest in honor from God. Our Lord said, how can you believe if you receive honor from men? As sorry as we all are, but that's the way it is. The baptism of the Spirit as such is an anointing, and it is the true Holy Spirit. And when these people speak in tongues, a million at a time, it is always one and the same Holy Spirit. But if there is no word seed, then nothing can come forth. Then nothing can sprout. The comparison with David and Saul in the Old Testament is perhaps a good one. Both believe, and the people all believe, and I'm honest. Deep inside, I'm sorry that there are people on earth who have to play a role. They are destined, just like Judas was destined, to be a traitor. And the Lord said, it would be better that the man were not born, and yet that the scripture might be fulfilled. One of the nicest people must be the arch deceiver. What can I do about it? If it were up to me, I would even have wished Lucifer had remained reasonable and not rebelled against God. Then he would still be doing well today. but that's not my fault. We have the task of proclaiming the biblical truths very clearly, and that is that there are only two origins, one true and one false. The false is an imitation of the true. The true gospel went out from Jerusalem and has reached the ends of the earth. And the false one started from Rome and has devoured almost the whole earth. But all denominations have their doctrinal roots in it. And I think Brother Branham says it once. I have to look it up again. The Catholic Church makes the claim that all who have been baptized in the same formula actually belong to it. It makes this claim itself on the basis of this false baptism, and thus the way goes back. How this takes place in the several countries is not so important. The essential thing is that one is the mother, the other is the daughters, and the daughters all come together and return to their mother's womb. But the true church of the living God is also still there, but of course a vanishingly small number. Let us thank God that we have found grace in His sight, that we have received a prophetic message with enlightenment, with instruction, with clarity through truth. Clarity only comes through truth, and truth is God's word. And thus we have been helped. And thus the Spirit of God is connected to the Word of God, and not just a shower of blessing, but a seed of God that has been placed within us and is then brought forth unto new divine life. That is the big difference. The Spirit of God falls on all flesh, no matter where or how. And you all know, back then, I know the people myself. These were two other brothers. One of them laid hands on Cardinal Bea in the Vatican, and he spoke in other tongues in the Vatican. I read it personally. It was given as a testimony in an English magazine. And that was a huge thing. A huge thing, yes. And people don't realize. All they care about is that when they lay hands on people and they have received the Holy Spirit, as they think, then they rejoice and give great testimonies, without having sown the seed. That is the point. Do we realize how important the Word of God is? As divine seed, so that divine life and fruit can come forth at all, a divine generation. The seed was necessary for this. And that is why we are very grateful that we have heard the Word so purely and clearly in these days. Amen. That will last forever. And if one day we are allowed to pay for it with our lives, then let all heaven rejoice. And let all who love the truth rejoice then with heartfelt joy. That is how much this word is worth to me. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. How good God has been to us. Let us recognize that the kingdom of God is in our midst. Let us recognize that it is breaking through. And I will really go so far as to say, since Brother Branham, as a messenger before the second coming of the Lord, placed the original gospel on the lampstand anew and familiarized us with the words of divine promises, the kingdom of God is breaking forth anew with force. But you have to press into it, and we must be prepared to leave everything else behind. We will have trials until the end. Until the end, the believers and the unbelievers will face the same outwardly. One will have trials, the other will be sick. The one will die and the other one will die. It will all go on like this. The Holy Scripture says, in that day it will be revealed who has served me and who has not served me. Today it will not yet be revealed. One will grow old, the other will grow old. the believer and the unbeliever. One drives a car, the other two. One has an accident, the other two. One gets sick, the other two. This is the eternal justice of God. God is 100% just in everything, righteous and just again and again. That is our God. But we have the opportunity to go through all these trials. As I have said, we carry the word, and then hours, days and times come when the word carries us. When the trials get too bad that we think we can't go on any longer, I would like to remind you of the story that Brother Branham also told, when this one man couldn't find the footprints and wondered. Yes, he says, I carried you. At first, the Lord walked beside him. You may know the story better than I do, if you have read it. My memory is failing day by day. But the Lord carries us. He is with us. And by His grace, we will press into the kingdom of God with force. By faith, we receive it and thank God for it. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Faithful Lord, I thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word, for your grace, for your love, which has been manifested in many ways. Faithful Lord, we can say with certainty that the time of the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, all these ministries have continued into our day. Now you are letting everything flow into a prophetic message. Thy kingdom is breaking through with force, and we may step into it, O Lord. As our brother prayed, the deep calleth unto the deep. Beloved Lord, what a privilege to have been taught by you, to have had your word revealed. Lord, what a grace to stand before your face, to have clarity and truth in the midst of all confusion. O God, we thank you. We worship you, even if we are not creating an atmosphere, O Lord, but are bowed down and despondent. But we are not because you have been so gracious to us, but because the enemy sometimes breaks through and causes harm, O Lord. We would like to see it become truth in our midst, that you have crushed the serpent's head so that he can no longer spray poison. O my Lord and my God, that all these divine truths become realities in our midst. The whole victory of Golgotha over all hell, over every sin, over unbelief, over every power of sickness, O Lord, that you could make it known in a manner befitting you. O Lord, we thank you and we praise you. May you have strengthened us anew, beloved Savior. Bless also those who are not here today, brother and sister Rus and all. O Lord, bless them, O God. We are united in you for time and eternity. Bless tomorrow, there in Winterthur too. Lord, may you still cast the net and use the opportunity to speak to the people. I also lay before you the conference in the USA. O beloved Savior, you see the different directions that all refer to you, your word, your prophet. O my God, your kingdom cannot be so divided. It is one God, one faith, one baptism, one message, one word. O beloved Lord, would you give us grace and once again send a signal and do something extraordinary so that everyone would know that this is the hand of the Lord, that God has done this. Faithful Master, we have done nothing until now but waited for you to do something, and we thank you that you will do it. Be with us all now. Be here at the weekend too, faithful Lord. Give us discernment as to which spirit we speak and act from, that we may always examine ourselves as to whether what we say is for edification, O Lord, whether it brings blessing, whether it brings help. O faithful God, take us all. Make us worthy of the high calling that has been given to us. Let us walk with you without blame, O God, so that your blessing may be revealed. We trust in you, the living God. Yes, we believe that your kingdom is breaking through with force. We realize that it is a test of strength, for it is in our midst, O Lord. But give us grace so that we can tear ourselves away from everything and enter the kingdom of God. Beloved Lord, I only want to be under the guidance of your Spirit. Take my thoughts, my actions, my decisions, my words, and my works. Take it all, O Lord. Have mercy on me for your name's sake. Do the same to us all. Yes, as our sister prays, let the day come when holy men lift up holy hands before the holy God. Hallelujah. We thank you for all blessings. But they are only drops, O Lord. Send the showers, O God. I thank you for my brothers, for my sisters. Remember all those who are in need, all those who mourn, all the despondent, all the sick, O Lord. May you grant us grace and make the salvation of God manifest as never before, to the praise and honor of thy name. Amen.